Great. Good morning. We're going to make a start. Hello, my name's John, and I've travelled across this morning from a church in Nottingham. Been coming to Soul Survivor for years and years. Love Soul Survivor, and it's just really a privilege to be here. Really, really glad to be here. And also, well done to you lot for being here at 9:30 for a seminar. I'm really, really impressed by that. Is it day four? I've come here. Yeah, day four. Have there been a lot of mosquitoes here? Oh, good. Back where I've come from, there's the hot weather. There's been loads of mosquitoes. Everyone's been getting bitten. So I'm glad you guys haven't. Anyway, the title of this seminar is Am I actually a Christian, or am I really a Christian, or something like that? And I'm not sure why you personally will have come to this seminar, but I don't know what you think about that question. Perhaps that question was the thing that brought you here. And it can feel like the question, "Am I a Christian?" can feel like almost like a bit of a naughty question to ask at a Christian camp like Soul Survivor, where it seems like everybody here is a Christian. You know, maybe apart from like one or two of the people that work in the burger vans, it feels like everybody else is supposed to be a Christian here. And you might have felt a bit sort of like, oh, is it okay, you know, to come to something like that? Will my youth leader be, you know, waiting and they'll see me coming into here and they'll be like, oh, I knew you were having doubts about your faith. And you might have felt that way. But sometimes in Christian environments, sometimes in churches and in youth groups, it can feel like it's not okay to admit that we have sometimes have doubts, we have questions, that we're not really sure about our faith. And the reality is, we all do have questions from time to time. And the Bible talks about this all the time, actually, both in the Old Testament, like the first bit of the Bible, the bit before Jesus, and the New Testament, the bit from Jesus onwards. Lots of characters in the Bible, people like Moses and Abraham and Jacob and David, and then some of Jesus' disciples, well, all of Jesus' disciples, Peter and people like that, they all wrestled with questions about God. They all wrestled with doubts from time to time. And what's more, if you read in the New Testament, if you read the stories of Jesus' life, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, one of the things that you'll notice about Jesus is that he often found himself in conversations with people who had questions, people who had doubts about who he was, and they were trying to figure out who Jesus was. And one of the things that I love about Jesus in those discussions is, and this is something that you'll notice if you read the Bible, is that when Jesus was in conversations with people who thought they knew everything, when he was in conversations with people who thought they had all the answers already, those were the people that he was sometimes quite stern with, and he would kind of like tell them how it really was. But when Jesus was in conversations with people who honestly had questions, people who had doubts, people who were trying to find the answers, Jesus was really kind to those people. He was really caring and patient. And there's one example in Matthew's gospel, in chapter 9. This man comes towards Jesus, and he brings with him his son. And his son has got a really bad problem. His son has been afflicted by demons for years and years. And they've tried lots of different ways of setting him free, but they can't. And Jesus asks him the question. He effectively asks him the question. He says, Do you have faith? Do you believe that I can actually heal him? And I love the way the father responds in that moment. This is really good. In chapter 9, verse 24 of Mark, it says, immediately, I might have it here on the screen. Oh, that's really tiny. Immediately, the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." And I don't know whether you've ever felt like that yourself. Like, I do believe, but there's also part of me that struggles to believe and needs some help. You know, like when you sort of say, sorry, not sorry. It's kind of like saying the two things at the same time. I do believe, but Jesus, would you help me overcome my unbelief? And I love the way that Jesus responds. He sets this boy free. He heals him from his situation because Jesus gets it. Jesus understands when we feel this way. And it might be that you're here and you resonate with that kind of response yourself. You might have unanswered questions and doubts. And I don't know what they would. There'll probably be, you know, hundreds of different types of questions that different ones of us might have. But before we get too far into this, the thing that I want to make really clear is that Jesus gets that. He understands that we sometimes feel that way. And I believe that this guy's prayer Jesus, I do believe. Would you help my unbelief? I do believe, but would you help the part of me that struggles to believe? I think that's a really good prayer for us today as well. So, hi guys, come on in. Don't worry, you've only missed the sort of like introduction bit where I'm talking about this idea of, you know, sometimes as Christians, it feels like it's not okay to have questions, but actually Jesus gets that. He understands it. So what are the questions that you might have about Christianity? It may be that you might be thinking, am I just a Christian because I was brought up in a Christian family? You know, if I was brought up in a different country, in a different place in the world, would I perhaps have a different faith? Or do I just go to church because all my mates go to church? Jesus understands that kind of question. It might be that for some of you, your faith in God is kind of a little bit troubled by some of the stuff that you read and you hear about science and technology, and you hear things like, oh, you know, the idea of evolution, the idea of dinosaurs or whatever aren't compatible with stuff that the Bible says. And so people say, I don't believe in God because of all that. It might be that you struggle with faith because you're not sure that you can get on board with some of the things that the church and the Bible stand for. And you're like, I don't agree with that. Maybe you have doubts because you're still waiting for God to prove himself to you. You know, perhaps when you're here at Soul Survivor, you know, when there's like a ministry time and, you know, like Mike or whoever's on the stage, they say, come Holy Spirit. And it feels like all of your mates next to you are like shaking away and shabbering and having an amazing time. And you're feeling nothing. And you're like, well, if God's real, why aren't I feeling something? Am I just, or perhaps you have had an experience, but then you're thinking afterwards, was that real or was that just me sort of like making it up? You know, I remember the first time that I prayed for somebody and I felt like in a tangible way the presence of the Holy Spirit. It was years and years ago now. But I was praying for this guy. I had my hand on his shoulder. And as I started to pray for him, I just felt it was like electricity, like pins and needles, but like electricity running down my arm. And every time I sort of like felt a surge of it, I could see him react to what was happening. And I'd never felt anything like it. And I was like, whoa. And in that moment, I had no doubt that God was real. And I was like, wow, God, you're here. And that was probably 15 years ago. And if I'm honest with you, I don't think I've ever felt anything quite like that since. And there's been many times where I've since wondered, you know, so actually, in hindsight, was that God that day? Or was it just sort of dodgy circulation in my arm? You know, sometimes we can have experiences, but then after a while, we can doubt whether those experiences were actually real. Maybe sometimes some of us have questions about, you know, when you switch on the news and you see terrible things going on around the world, you know, the slavery that's going on around the world, famines, disasters, when we hear about terrible, like, terrorist activities or shootings and things like that. And we wonder, you know, can there really be a good God with all these terrible things going on around the world? And sometimes it's when bad experiences happen to us. That's something that can make us doubt the existence of God. So I remember one thing that really, in my story, one thing that really rattled my faith was something that really difficult that happened to me and my family. As a child, I was taken to church each week by my mum and my sister, and I was encouraged to pray and give thanks to God. But when I was about 10 years old, life began to get a little bit tough for me because my mum got diagnosed with cancer. And she started to battle with that disease. And it was a really, really difficult time for us as a family. And I'm guessing in a room of this size, there might be some people in the room who are in a situation a bit like that right now. And you'll know it's really, really difficult when things like that happen. And during that time, mum just got worse, and she struggled with some other stuff, some mental health stuff and some alcohol problems because of the illness. Really, it triggered it. And she was just getting really, really worried about this idea that she might die one day. And because of that, she did some really crazy stuff. She used to take some overdoses and things like that. And I remember life at home was really chaotic because of this situation. I remember I used to come home from school each day. And on the way home from school, I used to have this churning feeling in my stomach because as I was turning the lock to go into the house, I didn't know whether I was going to walk in to a mum that was like drunk or sober, or whether she was going to be, you know, sort of whether she'd run away, or whether she was even dead or alive, because she was really so poorly. So it was a really stressful time for me. And I remember one time, eventually, she was really panicking one night. And eventually, because we were people who believed in God, went to church, I sort of challenged about the fact that she was so stressed about getting ill. And I said, "Mum, why are you so scared of dying anyway?" And she was like, "What do you mean?" And I said, "Well, you know, we believe in God. So when you, if you die, then obviously it'll be really hard, but it'll mean that you'll go to heaven, and then one day we'll all be together." And she said, "I don't know." And I was like, "What do you mean you don't know?" And she was like, "I don't know what I believe about all that stuff anymore." And in that moment, I realized that sort of like my faith, just like the rug, just got pulled out from underneath my feet. Because I realized probably the thing that made me believe in God was the fact that my mum seemed to have a faith and taken me to church all those years. And to hear that she was having doubts really undermined my faith. And for about 4 or 5 years after that, it was really hard for me to engage with church, because after that conversation, what happened was actually that night she went to hospital, and then she got much, much worse in a short space of time. And that was basically the last proper conversation that I ever had with her. And so for a few years afterwards, I didn't really want to think about faith. I didn't really want to think about church. But what happened was in time, eventually, God put people in my life, friends at college, at university, friends when I started my first job, who were Christians in my life, people around me who encouraged me, and they would ask me questions about faith. And eventually, when I really felt like it was the right time for me, I began to re-engage with faith. And I slowly learned to trust God and love him and really do that, not because it was my parents' faith or my friends' faith, but for me. And I did it in light of all the stuff that had happened before me. And because of all of that stuff, I feel that my faith got stronger as an outcome at the end of it. Through going through all those struggles and all those questions, I came away at the end of it all with a stronger faith. And when I reflect back on those years, I think that's one of the reasons why nowadays I love to talk to people about questions and about faith, and especially with people who are in their teenage years, because I remember what it feels like to wrestle with those questions in those years. And I remember as well what a difficult time it is. You know, you might be in a place where you've got doubts and questions at the moment, and also you're trying to deal with the fact that you're a teenager and it's 2019 and you've got all this other stuff to figure out in your life. You're trying to deal with, you know, life and popularity and exams at school and just growing up physically. And yet you might also be yet to really decide if following Jesus is really what you want for your life, and if you want to actually take that step of choosing Jesus, not just because your friends or your parents did, but because you want to for yourself. And so you're here perhaps and you're wondering that question. So am I actually a Christian? Am I a Christian? And so what exactly is it that makes a person a Christian? Is a Christian a person who goes to church? Is a Christian a person who listens to Christian music? Is a Christian a person who says words like crumbs and flip instead of proper swear words?